Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have invited on the program author Rhett Reeves, and we are going to be talking about her new book, which is a must-read for animal lovers, titled Adopted Paws. So a native of Oakdale, Pennsylvania, Rhett Reeves courageously accepted a job in Florida, which she got over the phone, and was a state that she has never seen. She moved to Miami the following weekend with not much more than a bikini and a bottle of suntan lotion. Hurricane David teased the Florida coastline the next Saturday, yet undeterred, Rhett pursued her investment career during the day and studied microbiology and business at night. After almost a decade of no sleep, Rhett finally graduated from Florida International University, after which she obtained her MBA from Nova Southeastern University, married Randy Reeves, and started adopting stray animals, or maybe more accurately, the animals began adopting them. So Reeves' new book, Adopted Paws, takes place in South Florida and the Florida Keys and tells the lively and entertaining story of the animals that this couple has adopted, including their precious Molly, who fell victim to feline AIDS. So I am just so happy to have Rhett on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Rhett.
Well, Juanita, thank you very much, and thank you very much for inviting me on the program.
Wonderful. So I actually want you to take us back to when you first met your husband, Randy, and I understand that it was actually his chow that played a significant part in bringing the two of you together. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, I met Randy about 10 years after I moved to South Florida, and I met him at an apartment complex. He turned out to be one of my neighbors, and unbeknownst to me, he saw me moving in the night before, fighting a bunch of pillows as I was tripping across the parking lot, and I met him at the pool the next day. We started to talk and date a little bit. And as typical in those circumstances, eventually you want to introduce people to your personal family, you know, your parents and your siblings, et cetera. But for Randy, it was much more important that I meet his animals.
Uh-huh.
So for one of our dates, he actually took me back to his house and introduced me to two of his Dobermans and then the Chow Chow Bojo.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Dobermans are pretty ruckus type of animals, and Bojo was just a big, quite calm chow with lots of furry hair and a big purple tongue who just for some reason attached himself to me almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't had experience in walking dogs. Having grown up in the country, you don't normally have to worry about those things and leashes and stuff, but Bojo seemed quite content for me during that meeting to walk him down the street and just was very comfortable being with me. And so I sort of fell in love with Bojo and the chow, and that cemented my relationship with Randy even more.
And Randy fell in love with you even more, it sounds like, because of that.
I think he could be right there.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, that you say it was more important for you to meet the dogs than actually meeting Randy's family. And I think that really says something about the powerful bond that we can have, that humans can have with animals that can even run deeper than their family bond. So what are your thoughts on that at this point?
Well, I think animals accept humans if they treat them kindly, the humans and the animals, that is, really without hesitation and without reservation. So if you form a bond with an animal, then you have a friend for the rest of your lives together. And you can always count on them to make you happy when you're sad, to welcome you when you come home, to keep you company when you're lonely. So bonds with animals can grow quite deep, quite fast, and they can sustain you through many difficult times.
Mm.
Did you grow up with animals in your household, or have you always been an animal lover?
Well, I grew up in, as you mentioned, in Oaktown, Pennsylvania, which is a farming community, or was back then anyway, a suburb of Pittsburgh. And I grew up on part of a farm. My grandmother lived down the street. So I grew up with animals that were more for utility, you know, cows and chickens, if you will, and pigs, et cetera. And so they're an important part of our lives because of the utility that they served. And then we also had hunting dogs, which was typical in the country, that you made friends with, but they weren't a real tight bond. Now, we did have lots of stray animals in the area, and I did actually start adopting cats at a pretty young age that were allowed to stay within the house, and my mother had some pet dogs as well. And so they were an important part for me of my teenage years.
Oh, did you have a favorite animal at that time? Was it cats?
There were a couple cats. I remember one was called Twiggy, as a matter of fact, just a bit of a thin cat. And my mother had a small chihuahua called Bonnie and Daisy. So they were important. Over time, she had a couple dogs, and they were important to us, too.
Mm. So how many animals do the two of you actually have now?
Oh, Randy and I currently have two dogs. And that would be Samantha, who was introduced in the last book, and Gizmo, who's a chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three cats. Callie is no longer with us. As mentioned, she passed away. That was the cat with AIDS. Mm-hmm. But then we also have a bunch of finches as well, some small birds.
Oh, you have birds too. Okay, so are all of these included in your book, Adopted Paws?
Actually, Samantha was introduced in the book. Gizmo has been an adoption since the book was finished. Lucky was introduced in the book, and we still do have Lucky. Callie was introduced on the last page. That's one of the cats, and we have her. And then since then, we've also adopted another cat called Kiki, and Kiki will hopefully be in the sequel.
Okay. I thought you had a cat named Molly.
Molly was the heroine of, if you will, of Adopted Paws, and she did succumb to feline AIDS.
Okay.
Lucky is actually her son, and Callie is, our current Calico is also a relative of Molly. So even though we don't have her, we still have some of her family with us.
Oh, I see. Okay. So tell us about this new book, Adopted Paws. Tell us about it. Give listeners an idea of what kind of stories you include, and is this a day in the life, or what is this book all about?
Well, it's really several days in the lives of our animals. It does start out with just kind of an introduction as to who the animals all were about 10 years ago, and then goes back to a little bit about mine and Randy's past and how we interacted with animals, but then it moves to the fun part, which is how we met Bo and brought him into the family, and then how Randy and I started to build our own home, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the story, it tells about how we found Molly and adopted her and found out that she had AIDS. How we rescued other animals off the street and either found them homes or adopted them themselves.
Mm. Was this your first book and your first writing experience?
I've written technical writing for my job, and I've written some other short stories and poetry that I'm hoping that I can find an outlet for those, if you will.
Mm.
But this was my first full book that I have had published.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's a great first book. Did you have fun writing it?
I did have fun writing it. It was almost like I was taking dictation. The animals actually wrote the story, and I tried as best as I could to keep up with them and write down their stories soon after they occurred.
So why did you decide to actually put these stories into a book and get this book out there? Did you have a specific message that you were trying to get across?
Well, one thing I want to sensitize people to is how what a wonderful experience it is to adopt an animal and bring it into your family. There are challenges, but I think the comfort and love that animals can bring to a family outweigh the difficulties it might be to integrate them into your daily life.
And I wanted to share the stories that so many other people found interesting, that knew our animals, or that when I was traveling, they seemed interested in why I had carried pictures of my animals with me, and they tended to laugh at the stories. So that's why I thought it was worthwhile to make a collection.
So are all of your animals, are they adopted from shelters? Is that the kind of adoption you're talking about? And are you kind of suggesting that that's a better way to bring an animal into your home as opposed to maybe buying from a breeder or that sort of thing?
Literally, most of our animals were taken off the street. It's just amazing how, well, I guess first off, one message is please don't dump your animals on the street. And that's literally what's happened several times with the animals that they were adopted. You could tell at one time they had lived in a home because they weren't totally feral, but somebody just lost interest or just decided they couldn't keep them anymore. For instance, Petey, our poodle, was just thrown over a wall into the street, and Samantha was dumped off at the corner, and the cats were found at the phone yard that Randy had, where he worked. So, I mean, one message is please take your animals if you can't care for them anymore. Please take them to a shelter so at least they have a chance of being adopted, because the chance of survival on the street is not very high. And for looking for animals and for a potential to adopt them, I think to go to a shelter is a very good thing. From my experience, most shelters are very sensitive to the families that they place animals with and very sensitive to the animals' needs as well.
Good point. So obviously your book is really showcasing the fact that our pets and our domesticated animals really do have unique personalities, and some people would disagree with that. So what do you say to people that don't really believe, you know, the non-believers that don't think that these animals really, really can change our lives, make a difference in our lives, and have their own unique set of character traits and personalities?
Well, first off, if they read the book, hopefully they get some feeling for the fact that all of our different animals have different personalities. I don't think I pointed it out in Adoptive Paws, but hopefully in the sequel I can emphasize, for instance, our cat Lucky, who grew up with Samantha, basically, and Bojo, really doesn't know whether it's a cat or a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It behaves much more like a dog. It goes down with the dogs. It eats next to the dogs. It sleeps next to the dogs. So it's got a very distinct personality from our other two cats, who are much more feline. And our dogs themselves, Gizmo is a shepherd, if you will. He goes and, again, this would be in a sequel, not in the original book, since we didn't have Gizmo at the time, but Gizmo's a peacemaker. You know, if he sees the cat start to square off, or if he sees some sort of threat to the family, then he jumps down and gets in between the threat and us and takes care of us.
Is that right?
Yes, he does. And he's also a bit of a gentleman. If I'm working in my room at the house and one of the cats wants to get in the room, he will actually go and bump open the door so that the cats can gain entry into the room.
Okay.
So, I think if they're not really aware of the personalities that animals have, then they have to spend some time with them and talk to other people that have pets, and then hopefully they'll gain some sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that communication between species, like between dogs and cats? Because that is just, it's really interesting, because most people would think that, you know, they just kind of keep to themselves and they can't really relate to each other. But now you're saying that from your experience and from your family of pets that you actually witnessed that.
It's a growing relationship, I have found. It's just also similar to how animals interact with humans. For instance, Samantha, when he found her dropped at the end of the street and somebody brought her to our house, she obviously had been abused before we adopted her. She hid behind people. She cried if anybody came towards her. If they got too close, then she would threaten to bite. And she definitely was not a dog that had been in a good situation, where after she lived with us for a while, she started to lose a lot of that fear.
and started to interact with other animals as well. So she had to gain confidence in the fact that she was worthy of being loved and that it made it easier for her to interact with other animals. Typically, when we bring an animal into the house, they're wary of the other animals, a little frightened depending upon their size. Gizmo, when we adopted him, was very defensive. He would sit on my lap, and if Samantha came anywhere near to me, he would bolt out of my lap and try to attack her, and Samantha weighed 10 times Gizmo. But then now they're best buddies, and they sleep together, and Gizmo will stick her head right into Samantha's mouth, and they're just inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are bonds that are grow over time once the animals are comfortable with each other and believe it's safe with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you an author looking for another way to make your book available to your reading audience? If so, how about entering the revolutionary world of ebooks for Amazon Kindle? Amazon recently launched their new ebook reader that is now sweeping the masses by providing not only the ebook reader limitless possibilities, but it also now provides the opportunity for all authors to have their book available in the ebook format. Let ReaderViews help you get your book on Amazon in just a few easy steps. You provide us the information and we'll upload it for you. At the same time, we will optimize your ebook by ensuring that your book is compatible and looks great on the new Kindle Reader. For more information, please go to ReaderViews.com and click on the Services for Authors in the top menu bar. There you will see the services we provide, as well as the link for your Kindle ebook production. The success of your book is our greatest interest. Go to ReaderViews.com today.
And now back to Inside Scoop Live with your host, Juanita Watson.
Is there any considerations, like in your home environment or the location in which you're living? Do you have to, are there any considerations that you keep in mind when you have a house full of animals and different animals?
Yes, there are things that you have to be aware of. First off, a good fence is a good idea.
Yeah.
because you want to make sure that, first off, that you want to be able to take them outside. You want them to be able to move around, but you want to keep them safe from cars and people, and you want other people to be safe from them. And a sign, if you do have dogs and you do let them outside, they should be supervised, in my opinion. If for some reason they're not, then you want to have a sign to let people know that you have animals, so that they're not frightened and indeed don't put themselves at risk, since animals will defend their household.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful when you open and shut the door.
Yes.
Especially the cats will try to sneak by, and they can be a little slippery type of creatures, as a matter of fact.
Yes, they are.
Within the home environment, I think you have to be sensitive to the human companions, to the household. Some people do have allergies. Some people are afraid of animals. And either somehow you have to set boundaries between them and the animals, or make sure that you both understand your limitations.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with hair?
I always have bad hair days, whether it's what's on my head or what's ever sticking to my clothes.
Yeah.
Or traveling right now, as I am on the road right now, I'm trying to get the hair off of my my skirt and my bags, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, first off, to some extent, you have to realize when you do have animals that not everything's going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You vacuum frequently and you make sure that you carry a lint brush around with you. And then other than that, you just roll with it.
Yep. Small considerations.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me any challenges you actually face in living with so many animals, if there are any.
Well, there are challenges, especially when you adopt a new animal and bring it into the house, making sure that it's comfortable with the other inhabitants and vice versa. Animals have habits, just like people. Gizmo, when we first brought him in, had a habit of rummaging through the litter box, which was not a fun experience. And so we had to break the animals some of these habits. And you want to make sure that they're comfortable with people if they come to the house. So there's challenges on an ongoing basis. And animals can they like to sleep in the bed. They dream and they kick and they fuss and they snore and just like people. So it's like having just a couple more people in the house.
There you go. Big family.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about counseling or creating an organization where you're helping people that have just adopted animals? Because, you know, it sounds like you have a lot of experience. There's a lot of things that you've kind of figured out and weeded out and understand now. Have you thought about going in that direction at all?
That's an interesting perspective. I really haven't thought of that on a formal basis.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we give lots of free advice to people when they do bring animals into the house. And I have to admit, since Randy is more stationary than I am, he does spend a lot of time with neighbors when they adopt animals and help them through the process.
Mm. Now, you mentioned that you do travel a lot, and Randy does stay at home with the animals more. So do you find that your animals, because I've heard this, that animals may sometimes rebel when one of their owners goes away. You know, they don't understand what the heck's going on, and they're coming and going and all of that. Have you seen any changes with your animals when you go away for work?
It depends upon how long I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
They say that animals can't tell time, but certainly the volume of barking increases the longer I'm gone for when I return.
Oh, interesting.
So if I'm gone a day or two and come home, they're definitely happy to see me. But if I'm on a two-week trip and I come back, then the animals literally start to howl.
Really?
Now, there's sometimes, I think they're sensitive to when I pack.
Yeah.
Samantha will start to pout and sometimes go in the shower or in a different room when she sees me packing my bags and in the suitcase, pulling it out. And I frequently found, especially the cats, when I take a break from packing, I'll come back in and one of them will be laying on my bag.
Aww.
It'll be either like, take me with you or don't go.
Don't go, yes. Oh, that's... Now, have you experienced with any of your animals what people talk about, sort of the animal sixth sense, you know, that intuitive or instinctual behavior? Have you witnessed any of that with your animals?
Well, I think Gizmo, with his ability to see almost trouble arising and breaking it up before it happens, especially between the cats, or recognizing when it seems like one of them is not feeling well or whatever, Gizmo will tend to buddy up and take care of them. For some reason, they seem to sense people arriving sometimes at the house before they do, and I can't explain that.
it's interesting. Animals are amazing.
They are, and they do seem to, if you're down or out of sorts, they definitely feel if you're angry, because they tend to move away from when you're angry and give you your space. But if you're down in the dumps a little bit, then they seem to come and want to comfort.
Oh, definitely. Would you recommend that we all include animals in our lives somehow?
I think to include them in your lives somehow, it's definitely a very good idea. If it's not possible to have animals, and that I understand, if it was just myself, I couldn't have the animals that I have because it wouldn't be fair to leave them home all the time alone. But if that's the situation that you're in, at least you can donate to an animal shelter. Anything from whatever they need from money to excess a dog or cat food or whatever, or there's frequently fundraising events for animal shelters, and walks are quite common to do that. And I think that in those situations, you get so much more than you give.
Absolutely. And then there's the whole idea of taking animals. There's organizations where they take animals to seniors' homes or hospitals and that sort of thing.
Pet therapy.
Yes.
Yes.
I
can understand why that's so popular.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what do you think your animals, what's the biggest thing that the animals in your life have brought to you and enriched your life?
Wow, that's a difficult question because it's certainly not just one thing. I think animals actually make you more humane. If you see how they behave, if they're happy animals, if you see how they behave with you and how you behave and how they behave with humans and how they behave with each other, you can't help but adopt some of those qualities of being non-judgmental, of being loving, of caring. So I guess you might say that they rub off on you.
That's a great, great point. That I've never really heard it put quite that way. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Rhett, you've mentioned that you're writing a sequel. Is it done? Are you still in the writing process?
I'm in the gathering process because definitely the animals are writing this again, and I'm taking mental dictation and outlining now, and I'm working on the idea that there's several of my friends that have plenty of animal stories, and that's once you have animals and you find friends that have animals, you seem to make good friends and they have good stories. So I'm also working on a draft now about advice for women traveling. And so I'm not quite sure which one's going to get done first.
Oh, great. So you have a couple projects.
Yes, that's one thing when you spend a lot of time on the road and airplanes, you want to be constructive. And so writing seems to be a good way for me to pass the time.
What a great idea. So is this going to be maybe a next career that you're going to move into?
We better not tell my boss that.
Okay, let's not even go there. Well, so when do you think one of these books might come out? A year down the road, a couple years?
I finished a draft of one of the books already, so I'm hopeful that we'll see something in the second half of 2008 or the beginning of 2009.
Oh, good. How did you find, as a first-time author, how have you found the whole publishing a book, getting it out there, getting it, you know, into bookstores, the whole publishing industry part of it, the business side of things. How have you found that in the process?
Daunting and exciting at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It took me lots of rejections before I found a publisher for Adoptive Paws, but whenever I received a rejection, it was typically with good advice, and that meant rewriting the book for over a couple years several times. I found the publishing is difficult. There's a lot to learn, but during the process, I've also found other people who've gone through the same process themselves or are going through it, and they typically have lots of good advice. Writers are very good at helping other writers, which you would understand.
Yeah,
I'm sure for being associated with reader views.
Yeah.
So it's been a scary process at first, but it's like anything. Once you start to become familiar with what's going on, and the more you read about it, and the more you try, the more you learn.
Yes, and it is a fun process. There are places that you can really stumble along the way, but you're right. Once you get out there and get more involved with other authors and the whole literary community, you know, doors just open and information just comes at you. So I'm glad that you've had positive experiences with it all.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So let's mention your website. And I know I've been on your website, and one of the great things that I found was that you have posted a number of pictures of the animals that are in Adopted Paws that, you know, there's no pictures in your book. So I love that as a resource that people can go to your website. So tell us about your website and what the address is.
Thank you. Well, not surprising, the name of the address of the website is www.adoptedpaws.com,
mm-hmm.
with no space between the adopted and the paws.
Mm-hmm.
And I started it just because, like you said, several people started to read the book, and they said, why don't you have pictures of the animals in the book? And, well, that's because I didn't know how. So I bought a book on about how to build a website, and I had never done that before. And it's taking some evolutions over time. But I first started posting pictures or photos, if you will, of the animals that were in adopted paws, and then I started a gallery with more paws, which are some of the animals that we currently own, and then neighbors started really submitting photos, and actually I've started to receive photos from readers around the world that I've posted on the website.
Yeah.
And living in Florida, you get some other interesting critters, if you will, and we're also by not too far away from a bird sanctuary where they rehabilitate birds. So recently I started posting photos of the birds from the bird sanctuary and also some of the other interesting animals that you find in the Florida Keys.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So there are some regional aspects to your website,
yes,
as well. Great. It's a great website. I actually didn't know that you made that website yourself, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you, and feel free to send me advice. People always do.
Oh, really?
How to improve it, yes, that's fine with me.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations on your first book, Adopted Paws. It's fantastic. We certainly encourage listeners to go to bookstores, check out a copy, or can it be ordered actually through your website, or is it through online booksellers?
It is just through, other than in Isla Mirada, there's one bookstore called Hooked on Books where it can be picked up. Other than that, it would be ordered online from publishamerica.com or the major websites such as amazon.com,
okay,
et cetera, Borders.
Okay, great. Well, Rhett, our time is coming to an end here, and as usual, I just want to offer you the last little bit of time to share your final thoughts.
Well, first off, thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you, Juanita, and to talk with readers. I hope everyone does enjoy the book, and there is a way to reach me by email through the website. So if there's any comments or suggestions or pictures or anything that I can do to enhance your experience with animals or any advice you have or would like to get, please feel free to contact me.
Great. Rhett, thanks so much for your time. I look forward to having you back next year when Book 2 comes out.
Thank you, Juanita. Have a good day.
And you too. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, listeners, there you go. I've been talking with Rhett Reeves, author of Adopted Paws. Her website, once again, adoptedpaws.com. Certainly suggest that you look for this book. It's a wonderful, wonderful read. Reviewers are loving it, have great comments about it, so please do check it out. So once again, thanks so much for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.
Blog Talk Radio.